It is a curious thing, this thing that we celebrate today. And some of us look at us a little odd to believe that someone raised from the dead. It's an odd thought. And yet history, over and over again, has been debated, and history proves itself that at least historically, the proof is in the pudding, that it really happened, it really came to pass. So what does that mean? There's a lot of things it means, but there's a term that's been used, the gospel, the good news. And I was thinking this week, especially thinking about what's been labeled Good Friday, that there's really a lot of bad news. And I don't have to be reminded very often of my own bad news, that I get lost in my own identity, trying to measure up, in my own insecurities, trying to perform. Even this morning, if you could get in my shoes for just a moment, think about what I have to do this morning. There's this idea of I have to present Jesus to you. What shoes to fill, pun intended. But there is something about our performance and wanting to be recognized that bogs us down in our very human condition. But Jesus never got bogged down. He was able to be fully human and fully God, and represent us in such a way to offer us a plan, a possibility of rescue. And it's still up to us to receive that. We can believe it historically that it really happened, but we really have to receive it. But once we receive it, the bad news of who Phil is on his own, and that I will eventually die and have to meet my Maker, the bad news even that someone had to die in my place, that is still bad news, by the way. Think about that for a second. We celebrate Good Friday, and some have referred to it as Bad Friday. In fact, if the resurrection never happened, it's still bad news, right? I just think of Phil and the weight of already getting caught in my sin, and then someone covering for me and dying. Oh my goodness, the shame compounds now. Because not only was it bad news itself, now someone had to take my place. Now that's bad news on top of bad news. But the terrific, great news is that he didn't just stay dead. He rose and gives us the hope of our identity totally being transformed and changed. And so as we process that a little bit here this morning, the students have put together a film. And the film, the big idea of the film is that God takes all of our insecurities, our desire to be accepted, our desire to be recognized, and he takes that upon himself and flips the philosophy of this world upside down and gives us his acceptance, gives us his performance at the cross. And he lavishes us with a whole new identity that most of us haven't even tapped into. That we oftentimes forget that, oh yeah, I'm not just a sinner saved by grace, but now I'm a saint. That's a different perspective. That I am now a child of God. I'm a son of God. Not just lost in my humanness, in the human condition. And so I want you to be encouraged this morning. The students have put together this short film. But at the core of it is this idea of our identity being tweaked and changed by our surrendering our lives to Jesus. And it looks a whole lot different on the other side of the cross.
Who am I?
Who are you?
Who are we, really?
What defines us?
Who defines us?
My identity. Does it come from being
a son?
Daughter.
Student.
Athlete.
Brother.
Sister.
Senior.
Seventh grader.
A home, private, or public schooler.
Your boss.
Employee.
Who are you?
We really want to know. Does the label stick because
I am cute?
Or handsome?
I am smart.
Or athletic?
I am an overachiever.
Or popular?
The walking definition of a nerd.
Are we stuck with these labels?
Is that really who we are?
The problem with this social status,
identification badge,
passport or citizenship,
second place records,
accolades or failures,
it seems that we were made,
created,
fashioned, crafted for so much more.
much, much more.
After all, even as imperfect as we are,
quite imperfect.
With much fault.
Much, much fault.
All of the foolishness.
Fumblings and failures.
Yet.
Yet.
Yet, we were crafted.
We were fashioned.
We were created.
We were made as
image bearers.
Reflecting the very likeness of God himself.
Nothing.
No other thing.
On the earth below.
What in the world?
Or in the heavens above.
Heavens to Betsy.
Yep. It's a big universe.
Nothing resembles.
Nothing reflects.
Nothing mirrors.
Nothing comes close.
To identifying with God.
His likeness.
The creator of the created.
Nothing else even comes close.
Except we as humans.
Mankind.
Womankind. Childkind.
We were made.
You were crafted and fashioned.
Created in his image. So, who does he say that I am?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What identity has God given us?
Thought-provoking.
Wait, so...
Wait!
Wait, no, hold it. According to the latest...
polls.
Opinions.
Trendsetters.
Commercials.
Advertisements.
Apps.
One must perform like a superstar.
Ace the test. Get accepted into an Ivy League school.
Score the final touchdown, home run, or buzzer beater.
Achieve some lasting accomplishment.
Set the new record.
So that I will feel accepted.
Valued.
Appreciated.
A real sense of worth.
So, this is not true?
It's false.
It's somewhat deceptive.
But, it's a lie.
Not for real?
Alternate reality.
It's not true.
Your performance.
Big.
Or small.
Your performance is not who you are.
Not your full identity.
So, wait.
Wait.
Wait. No, hold it. According to
Sports Illustrated,
Global News Networks,
Twitter, Face, Insta, Snap,
the latest buzz,
my appearance is everything.
The bod.
The muscles.
My eyelashes.
My notifications.
Or comments.
Emojis.
This is what chemically balances me. You know, endorphins.
My fans, they admire me.
My feelings of security.
My safe space.
Security needs. Day made.
So, this is not true.
It's false.
It is somewhat deceptive.
But it's a lie.
Not for real?
Alternate reality.
Not true!
Your charm.
And good looks.
Average or whistle worthy.
It's not who you are.
It's not your full identity.
A false sense of security.
So wait.
Wait!
Wait, hold it. According to the masses,
popular vote,
pop culture,
my professors,
boss,
parents,
friends.
My significant mark is made when
they cheered me on.
Brought home the gold.
Brought down the house.
My feelings of recognition.
When I won the debate.
Articulated the unfathomable, profound thought.
I got the star of the week.
Boom.
So, this is not true.
It's false. Not true.
It is somewhat deceptive.
But it's a lie.
Not for real.
Live life long enough and someone else will beat your record.
Trophies collect dust.
But your purpose?
Accomplishments, significance.
It's not who you are.
Not your full identity.
Like a passport without stamps.
Well, it is who you are, if that's what you choose to believe.
And many do. Sadly.
No, really. Honestly and tragically.
This is what you are, if you choose to believe it?
Wait.
Wait, but hold it.
If you believe that
God originally created
us as image bearers,
in his image and likeness, who does he say that I am?
Remember the really good thought-provoking question?
What identity does God give me?
Well, to those that wish to take on his identity, he has simplified things, no longer wrapping our identity up in our own.
Performance, appearance, recognition?
But rather, we find our performance, appearance, and recognition
as a byproduct of trusting in God's Son.
His very own Son, Jesus the Christ, God in the flesh.
We substitute.
Surrender.
Give up.
Our identity for his.
Trusting that his performance at the cross.
Dying for our sin.
His appearance before God at the resurrection.
Restoring our relationship.
Recognizing our new identity in him.
Casting off our own identity.
Now, that changes things.
That transforms things.
Who you are identifying with Christ.
It's like
a new birth certificate?
It is a sealed certificate of rebirth. It is the ultimate life or game changer.
A whole new level of citizenship.
An ID badge.
Passport.
My self-confidence.
Self-reliance. Self-everything.
Is gone.
It's like dead.
And new life has birthed.
Now it's automatic.
Me or you plus Jesus.
Algorithm finished.
I am accepted. Secure and significant.
As in the day's paradise, you know.
The Garden of Eden?
Heaven on Earth.
Right now.
Don't even have to wait until we die.
Wait!
What?
Yep, me.
Or you.
Plus Jesus.
Algorithm finished.
Fully competent.
Fully complete.
Fully full.
No added preservatives.
According to my certificate of rebirth, I'm accepted as...
God's kid now!
A friend of Jesus.
He looks at me just as if I had never sinned.
Even my very spirit is locked up with his.
His token paid the price. I now belong to him.
Automatic member of the living church.
With saintly privileges? Get out of here.
It's like I'm adopted or something.
And I have access to him 24/7. His spirit lives in me.
Unbelievable. Totally forgiven and excused for my indiscretions.
Taking on Jesus' identity is like being whole again.
According to my certificate of rebirth, I'm secure and...
I don't have to worry about being accused. Everything works out in the end for my good, because that is his nature, which is my new nature, which is his nature.
Go ahead, charge me. But remember, he is my judge, advocate, and general. And nothing separates or divides him and me.
He set me back up.
And sets me apart, and forever keeps us.
It's like I'm hidden in him, and he's hidden in me.
He's going to finish what he started. It's all good.
I have a brand new passport. I'm a patriot of heaven itself.
No longer am I timid, but I powerfully operate with every mental faculty and heartfelt compassion.
When I'm desperate, his favor finds me.
Privileged status as God's child, evil one, can't touch this.
According to my certificate of rebirth, I am significant, recognized as
the salt and light of the world.
productivity off the charts because I'm a branch abiding in the vine.
He picked me.
To represent him.
He picked us.
I am the personal proof, the evidence, the testimony of Jesus.
It's as if I'm his home. His address is me. He resides here.
It's official. I've been appointed as captain to champion his cause.
A co-worker with Christ for his kingdom, his economy.
Front row seats with Christ in the divine theater.
God is the master builder. I am one of his masterpieces.
Through freedom and confidence in Christ, we can approach God.
With Jesus' strength, I can do anything.
So no more.
Waiting.
Waiting.
Wait. That's who I am.
Your identity wrapped up in the identity of Jesus.
Whatever he is, we
get to share in it.
Why would I even want to self-identify with something other than Jesus?
I'm sitting over there thinking that it's like wave after wave of being encouraged by what God labels us now. And then I thought, do we really understand wave after wave? So it's more like snowfall after snowfall, right? I think we get that. And it's like a blanket on top of a blanket that no longer is it fills in securities that I have to be wrapped up in, that I am safe and secure in him, and that I am fully accepted. I have this picture of not making the ball team. Yes, you made the ball. You are fully accepted, and you have a significant role to play. But when we try to wrap that up in just our own human condition, trying to be accepted by people, trying to put on a performance, trying to find our security in things that just won't give us that security, they fall short in the human condition alone. So much pressure from the systems that we live in define this identity, our appearance, our performance, our recognition. It seems like it's a very integral part of the human condition that we all wrestle with it. My appearance is everything, that we have to put on some all-star performance to be known as perfected or mastered something. I just want to be recognized or validated or appreciated. And if we look at the pedigree of Jesus, he didn't get hung up. He didn't get bogged down in this human condition. So I just want to take for an example and kind of rip through these, his example of appearance, his lowly birth. That's the opposite of what we think of as some majesty being born, this lowly birth. He wasn't superhuman. Isaiah 53:2 and some of the surrounding passages says this, that he grew up before them as a tender shoot. He was like a root out of dry ground. I know that's hard to visualize right now, but think of that root that's out of the ground and it's dry and messy and we just want to mow over it, and it's a problem, and it's nothing to be looked at as great. He's like a dry root, or a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty. It says this. He had, speaking of the Messiah, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Before his departure, Isaiah 15:52 backed this up, that his back was beaten, that his cheeks were deformed, having his beard pulled out. And yet he did not hide his face from those who were mocking him and spitting in his face. And many were appalled by just the look at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, the scriptures say. So that's his appearance. Opposite of what we look for in appearance. As for his performance, he dedicated his time to the destitute, to the poor, to the weak, to the undeserving in some perspective. The Spirit of the living God is upon me, he said in Luke, and Isaiah corroborates, anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. And this is the year of the Lord's favor. And he delivered on this performance Matthew records this, that John, the baptizer, was in prison, and John was starting to question his own faith. Is this really the Jesus? And Jesus said, go and report back to John what you hear and see. The blind now see, the lame are walking, the leprosy are cured, the deaf now hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. This is his performance. And it was softly and gently performed. Isaiah 42 says, the chosen one, his delight was to bring justice, not shout, not cry out, not raise his voice. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet didn't open his mouth. He didn't do what I often do, and that's defend myself. You know, just get defensive in my attitude because I was right in this particular area. Jesus didn't have to do that when he performed. How about his recognition? He was humiliated by the elite, Isaiah 49, Hebrews 2:9. It despised. He was abhorred by the nations, looked in disgrace towards him. And Hebrews says that he was made a little lower than the angels. He was dehumanized, a little lower than human beings, a subhuman, beyond that of human being, of human likeness, yet he confounded the minds of the wise with what seemed like foolishness. By being a storyteller, by telling parables, and he was a vagabond and seemed as a radical. Yet, they gave up trying to trap him. Matthew 22:46, that no one dared ask him any more questions after a while. So that's his appearance, that's his performance, that's how he significantly showed himself to a very small group and invested in his disciples. Jesus didn't get hung up or bogged down or trapped in his human condition. His identity was tested in the wilderness. Think about this. And if you remember that time after his baptism, he went into the wilderness and Satan tempted him 3 times. And it's all wrapped up in his appearance, his performance, and his significance. He appeared hungry. If you're the Son of God, change this stone to bread. And Jesus replied, man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Perform, put on a show, throw yourself down from this temple. Satan took him to a high place on the temple and said, throw yourself down and your angels, your cast party, will come to your rescue. Right? Put on this performance. Jesus said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And thirdly, Satan tempted him with, recognize me, bow down to me, and I will give you the sovereignty over the whole world. Brought him to a high place, showed him the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, if you'll do this one thing, if you will shortcut your way, then I'll give you sovereignty over the kingdoms of this world. Now, Jesus wasn't about the shortcut minus the sacrifice. And he said, away from me, deceiver, Satan, worship God alone. Fascinating study, the human condition. Ever since the first man, ever since Adam, ever since human, has this been a downfall of our getting caught up in our appearance, trying to find security, wanting to be recognized. Yet the Christ, Jesus, has a legitimate offer, an exchange rate, a life for a life, and he freely takes on ours. He freely does that and volunteers his in our place. And it's not just the death of Jesus, it's the life that Jesus offers us to be like him in his death, but also like him in his life. And he vanquishes our insecurities, our indiscretions, and our insatiable need to appear as if we have it all together, to perform as if we are the perfect social example, and to be recognized as some superhuman, validated, and appreciated. Right, he gets rid of those insecurities. And who are we fooling if we think that we can do that all on our own? While we are craving the very essence of what it means to be human in identity, Jesus boldly offers the very thing that we desperately want. He lavishes us with his identity, this new rebirth certificate, if you will. Why would I even want to self-identify with anything other than Jesus? It's hard to give up my own identity, but it's worth it. I'm now in Christ, fully accepted, fully secure, fully significant in him. If I choose to appropriate the death and the resurrection of Jesus to me. You got to receive it. You can believe it, but you have to receive it as well and surrender your own life to him. The gospel is only good news. Our identity hinges not just on the death of Jesus, rather hinges on the rebirth of the resurrection. This is the bold identity that's offered to you, to me. Will you, have you made that exchange? And do I realize my new position in Christ? Have I really took hold of all of those blankets of truths, wave after wave of those truths of who I am in Christ? And to me, the resurrection is kind of like, when I grew up out east, we had a couple flowers that would pop through early. The lily would come through pretty early. The daffodil would come through pretty early. I don't remember the crocuses, but you guys have crocus up here, if I'm pronouncing that correct. And I remember an early Easter once where those had already came through the shoot, and yet snow was on. There was still this snow covering, and yet this was still, and what a beautiful sight if you've ever seen that, a flower budding in the midst of the snow. That is the visual of the resurrection. It has happened. It has come to pass. And spring is upon us. Summer is upon us. That is the resurrection life that we have to look into, that we have to start grabbing hold of who the identity is in Christ that we now have. It's like that crocus flower that has just started to show itself. And spring is coming. And it's upon us. And it's already started through the resurrection of Jesus. And we are soon to blossom and to follow through. God, as we come to you today on Easter, Resurrection Day, and God, our minds might be stimulated by 100 other things right now, but God, if you would stir in our hearts the question of who am I, and if that's not resolved fully in Jesus, may that be the question that just keeps eating at us. Who is this Jesus? Is it really worth it to surrender our lives to him? And what has he given us in exchange? And is this hope true? Man, may we be restless with those questions until, God, you show up in only ways that you can do to perform that transformation in our heart, to implant your very spirit in us and give us new life, a new birth certificate. God, forgive us when we have tried to find security in the things of this world, the acceptance of the voice, the admiration of other people. God, there are many of us, myself included, that think about just perfecting things, mastering things, performing, putting on a good face. God, you know, you see behind the curtain. You know who we really are. So God, I would plead with you today, God, that your spirit would just leave us restless until we get to the point where we realize we cannot do this on our own. We desperately need a Savior, and you have provided that way. God, may we step into obedience even today if we haven't already. And if we've forgotten who we are in Christ, may today be the day that we're just like, yeah, that's right. I'm not just a sinner. I am now a saint because of the resurrection of Jesus. Father, we do not deserve any of those labels, and yet you have lavished us with such a great love that you lay down your life for us. And may we do the same. May we reciprocate. May we lay down our lives for others. Thank you for your love. May you be pleased with us, God, as we pursue you in your name. Amen.